Boy, it's a great day. And I want to thank you all for a wonderful June camp session. This is my last morning assembly with you, but there's obviously still a full day left, and tomorrow Jim Boy will close us down. But I want to thank you for listening to what God has used me to say. Lord, I want to thank you for all the kind words and the sweet smiles and just enjoying camp with you all. I can't wait to be back next June, but I'm also looking forward to enjoying the rest of this year's camp. What we've talked about this session is we've talked about how a lot of people believe that that Christianity is a religion. But we've said it's really not so much a religion as much as it's a relationship. And the Bible is not so much a religious book. A lot of people think the Bible is a book of how to please God, a book of how to live your life, how to be a good person. It's a book of rules. And we've said that it's really not that at all, but it's about Jesus. And as Libby reminded us on the first morning, she said it's a story in the Old Testament that says someone is coming, and that's Jesus. And the Gospels say someone is here, and that's Jesus. And then the end of the New Testament is someone is coming again. But I want to tell you this morning probably the best news I could tell you. And so I'm going to ask you if you would, one more time. I know it's hard. I know you are tired. And sometimes the morning assemblies can drag on maybe for some of you. But I want to say if you'll listen to me this morning, I'd really appreciate it. I've got great news to tell you today. There's a friend of mine. His name's Hal Farnsworth. And Hal is the pastor of Redeemer Presbyterian Church in Athens, Georgia. But before Hal was the pastor at Redeemer, he did what I used to do. He was a campus minister with RUF at Vanderbilt. And when Hal was on the campus one day, he ran into another campus minister. And this other campus minister was talking about his ministry and how he wanted to get things going. And he said, "Hal, you know, I'm not looking for 100 people. I'm not looking for a great big crowd of people that will come to our meetings or come and get involved in our ministry." He said, "Here's what I want, Hal. I'm just looking for 10 people. I'm looking for 10 people who are sold out for Jesus. I'm looking for 10 people that will follow Jesus wherever he goes. I'm looking for 10 people who will never turn their back on Jesus, but no matter what comes, they will always follow him." Hal looked at this man and he said, "Let me know if you find them so that I can stay as far away from them as possible." He says, "Because I'm not looking for 10 people who will follow Jesus wherever he goes. But I'm looking for 10 people who understands that Jesus will follow them wherever they go. I'm looking for 10 people who understand that Jesus is sold out for them. I'm looking for 10 people who understand that no matter what they do and no matter where they go, God will not turn their back on them." Those are two very different gospels, so to speak. The word gospel means good news. Those are two very different things. And on the surface, what the first man said doesn't seem that bad. It actually seems like a good thing. I mean, certainly God wants us to follow him, and certainly God wants us to walk after him. But all too often, there are Christian people and churches who make us believe that our salvation, that our standing before God depends on how good we are. They say there's good news for good people. But the Bible says something altogether different and altogether better. It says, no, there's good news for people whose lives are bad news. There's good news for people who do bad things. There's another friend of mine, his name is Tom Cannon. Tom Cannon is now the pastor of Red Mountain Presbyterian Church in Birmingham. But before he was there, he was the campus minister at SCAD, Savannah School for Art and Design. And he'd been to a conference, and a lot of folks were coming out of this conference. And if you've ever been to a Christian conference, you know people can get pretty excited and fired up about the Lord. And he ran into this girl after the conference, a college student, and she said, "I am just so on fire for the Lord. I am so fired up. I am sold out for Jesus." She says, "I hope that this fire never goes out." And Tom looked her in the eye and he said, "I'm sorry, but it will." Seems like a terrible thing for him to tell her that her fire will go out. But it will. And some of you may feel fired up for Jesus right now. And I don't want to tell you in a mean way, but I want to tell you graciously that your fire will go out, that you will cool off, that you won't always be excited for God. And the question I want us to think about this morning is, how will God respond to you when your fire goes out? How will God respond to you when you don't follow him where he goes? How will God respond to you when you do the very thing that you've promised a million times that you would never do? And there's a story in the Bible that tells us how God will respond. So I ask you if you'd listen. Jesus has been arrested, and before he's arrested, he has this meal with his disciples called the Last Supper, or the Lord's Supper. And he's telling the disciples that he's about to die. And this is what he says. He says, "And when they had all sung a hymn, they went out to the Mount of Olives. And then Jesus said to the disciples, 'You will all fall away because of me this night. For it is written, I will strike the shepherd, and the sheep of the flock will be scattered. But after I am raised up, I will go before you to Galilee.'" Now listen to this. "Peter answered him, 'Though they all fall away because of you, I will never fall away.' And Jesus said to him, 'Truly I tell you, this very night, before the rooster crows, you will deny me 3 times. Peter said to him, 'Even if I must die with you, I will not deny you.' And all the disciples said the same." Peter says, "Lord, they might all turn their back on you. Their fire might go out, but mine's not going out. I'm willing to die with you. I would never turn my back on you. I would never do that. I would never stop loving you. I would never stop following you." But then the passage says this. It says that Jesus is arrested. And they're taking him to trial. And it says this, "And they seized Jesus and led him away, bringing him into the high priest's house. And Peter was following at a distance. And when they had kindled a fire in the middle of the courtyard and sat down together, Peter sat down among them. And then a servant girl, seeing him as he sat in the light, looking closely at him, said to Peter, 'This man also was with him.' But he denied it, saying, 'Woman, I do not know him,'" talking about Jesus. He didn't know Jesus. "And a little later, someone else saw him and said, 'You also are one of them.' But Peter said, 'Man, I am not.' And after an interval of about an hour, still another insisted, saying, 'Certainly this man also was with Jesus, for he too is a Galilean.' But Peter said, 'Man, I do not know what you are talking about.' And immediately, while he was still speaking, the rooster crowed. And the Lord turned and looked at Peter. And Peter remembered the saying of the Lord, how he had said to him, 'Before the rooster crows today, you will deny me 3 times. And Peter went out and wept bitterly." See, Jesus said, "Your fire's going to go out, Peter. You're going to turn your back on me." And Peter said, "No, I won't. I'm willing to die for you." And even when these servant girls came up, they weren't even that powerful or that important, but they came up and said, "Peter, you know him." And Peter said, "No, I don't." And he denied knowing Jesus 3 times. 3 times he did the very thing that he promised he would never do. But there's one more passage. After Jesus rises from the dead, he's with 7 of the disciples, and this is what it says. "When they had finished breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, 'Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these?' He said to him, 'Yes, Lord, you know that I love you.' He said to him, 'Feed my lambs.' He said to him a second time, 'Simon, son of John, do you love me?' He said to him, 'Yes, Lord, you know that I love you.' He said to him, 'Tend my sheep.' He said to him a third time." Anybody remember how many times Peter denied Jesus? Okay. And Jesus asked Peter a question. How many times? 3 times. Huh. "He said to him a third time, 'Simon, son of John, do you love me?' Peter was grieved because he said to him the third time, 'Do you love me?' And he said to him, 'Lord, you know everything. You know that I love you.' Jesus said to him, 'Feed my sheep.'" It's amazing. Jesus wasn't so much doubting Peter as much as he wanted Peter to understand that though Peter had turned his back on him, Jesus would never turn his back on Peter. I'll tell you one last thing. One of our favorite things I kind of think that summarizes this whole thing is our family loves to go to weddings, and very often I get to perform the wedding. I get to be the minister that officiates the wedding. Wells and Simeon have been in a lot of weddings. And the best part of it, there's a lot of great parts of the wedding, but my favorite part of the wedding is when the music strikes up and it's this grand processional and the doors open up and the bride is walking down the aisle with her father. And most of us at that point in a wedding love to look and see how beautiful the bride is. But I can still remember one of the most memorable weddings I've ever gotten to officiate was for a friend named Lanier, and the bride's name was Leslie. And on this particular day, Leslie just simply would take your breath away. She was so beautiful. And as I watched Leslie coming down the aisle toward me, I really wasn't focused as much on her as much as I was focused on Lanier, who was standing beside me. And I looked at Lanier, and his face was beet red like a red light, like a stop sign. And his knees were shaking and his knees were knocking. He could hardly stand up. And I started to look at his eyes, and his eyes were pouring tears. He was just crying, but they weren't tears of sadness, but they were tears of joy. I thought he was going to crumple into a pile. And the reason that he was so beet red, and the reason his knees were knocking, and the reason that his eyes were welling up with tears was because of how excited he was to marry the woman of his dreams, Leslie, coming down the aisle. My friends, what does that have to do with anything? Let me tell you what it has to do. The Bible says that Jesus is our groom. The Bible says that when the doors swing open and we start to walk down the aisle, that Jesus' face turns beet red with excitement, that his eyes swell with tears, that his knees knock because of how much he loves us, that whether or not we follow him, even though we will and we may turn our backs on him, he will never turn his back on us because he loves us. And he has promised us this, that he will never leave us or forsake us. And that is good news. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for Jesus. Lord, we thank you that our fire will go out, but your fire for us will not go out. Lord, we thank you that though we will not follow you wherever you go, that you will follow us wherever we go. Father, we thank you that though we may deny not to know you, that you will never deny knowing us. That if we come to you in faith, if we put our trust in Jesus, that you will never turn your back on us. Lord, I pray that you will hold us tight in your grip. And we thank you for this good news. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.